Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast, where every week Danny and Maura Vega discuss topics that help families live a healthy and active lifestyle with their little ones, including nutrition and training, peaceful parenting, education, and mindset. To stay up to date, make sure to hit subscribe on this podcast and check out the blog at www.fatfuel.family. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram at dannyvega.ms, at fatfueledmom, and at fatfueledkids, and Fat Fuel Family on YouTube. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Vega, and I'm joined by my lovely woke warrior mom.
I don't like woke anymore, you guys. They hijacked it.
Yeah, that's true.
I prefer based now. Pretty based.
Based, okay. Awake, aware, wife.
And highly aware.
And today...
I like tapped in.
Tapped in, I like that.
Like connected. Would you say I'm tapped in?
Yeah, you're definitely tapped
in. Like tapped into the source.
Yeah, 100%.
Not many people are.
Yeah. A lot of NPCs out there. So, non-player characters. Yeah, they're just like, you know, computer. I don't even know what they are.
It's like Pac-Man.
Yeah.
It's like the Xbox.
It's like they're kind of there. They're just like part of the environment. They're part of the whole game. But anyways. I'm going to let you take this first because you were the one who introduced this to me in November. And I'll get to my side of this.
No, I didn't. Well, I don't know what he's talking about, first of all. So
November, you started talking about things, and I was like, oh, I don't want to hijack it.
I'm not going to confirm or deny anything, guys, because I don't allegedly want anyone to... Yeah, here's the thing. There's just a lot of things that are allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So you guys know, you guys follow us, you know? Like, so if you're listening to our podcast, you're a certain type of person already, right? And so... this is my question for you, and I'm going to ask Danny, right? But, like, I want you guys to ponder this question, too. Danny, how many times would you say somebody has to lie to you before you at least, I mean, before you have to confirm everything else that they say because you're not really going to trust it?
Once.
Okay, once. Perfect.
Yeah, once is good enough for me.
So you guys that follow us here, you can already think of, just right off the top of your head, just some of the things that they, and by they, I mean the school system, the government, the powers that
be,
the media, they've already lied to us about specific things, right? Right? Like nutrition is one of them. They are pushing something right now that is very unhealthy. Follow the money trail, guys. It's not that hard to understand why people do why these... agendas are out there, guys. There's a lot of money in this kind of stuff, right? So I just wanted to throw that out there because it's just a good thing to ponder.
Yeah, it's definitely a good thing to ponder. So
sorry,
our kids, like, we literally just had a pep talk with them about how distracting it is when they're screaming in the middle of our recording. And luckily, we have a minute or two after recording this intro.
They're going
to
do some
crack
burpees.
Some skulls.
Yeah, they're going to do some burpees for
yeah.
sure.
So I'm just going to say, number one, you said the why thing. And I think the why thing is so important because
it's a huge,
like,
question people are going to have for
everybody's
you.
Always like, why? Why would people do
why
this?
The lie?
Why would people lie? And what I say about that is this. Look, I thought this was awesome. This is from Austin Witsit. He's on YouTube. Witsit Gets It.
He's great.
Funny guy. He's going around the country. It's called the Masquerade Tour. And he's just like getting on a microphone and he's just like spitting facts. But he said, like, if I were to come up to you and I were to say, like, listen, I got evidence that your wife is cheating on you. You know, I got videos. I got all this stuff. And like, what would you do? Would you say, my wife would never cheat on me? Why would she cheat on me? I'm not going to even look at the video until you tell me why. Or would you actually take a minute to just consider, look at the evidence, and then get to the why? Because the why for a lot of things, and we'll get into the why about the subject today later, but I'll tell you, like, back in November, allegedly, we were having our little bathroom conversations. You know, Maura was talking about the moon landings, and I was like, listen, I know that's garbage. That's ridiculous. But when we get to, like, the nature of the existence that we live on, she's pointing at the globe because every single globe has a little sticker on the bottom of it that says not for educational use.
Seriously.
Because it's not accurate at all. But as far as, like, if you're trying to, like, navigate and all that stuff. But anyways, I was like, listen, this is one bridge I will not cross. This is one
bridge
too far. Yeah. Come on. Seriously, come on. Like, what are you, a flat earther? Like, seriously, what are you, a flat earther? Like, literally, when a spell is so strong that the mere mention of someone who's looking into it is
very knee-jerk. Really.
Yeah. It's like, because from the minute you're born, you know, you got little globes in your you know, when in the bassinet,
yeah,
you know, you got globes in the classroom, you got space, you got
everything you
Disney. So, you know, I personally just was not. And then, like, you know, there were some people that I was looking at that was just like entertaining it. And then Toe Rogan, Joe the Toe, the little man who used to be kind of awake and then just became a complete shill.
He's sold.
He was looking into this stuff. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to look at it. And because it's pretty simple that I could just probably disprove this in a second. Like, there's got to be so many things. So whatever. Long story short, we started looking into this. This has been for me.
You also know that I'm not ridiculous.
No.
When have I? Guys. I'm wrong, okay? I'm wrong sometimes, I am.
Well, the difference...
But when it comes to, like, this kind of stuff...
No. And honestly, the difference, like, I love this because it's like, I just commented, Mike Mutzel had a post about how, you know, a year later, all of a sudden, everybody's, like, now realizing that this is like, oh, wow, this you know, Cooties is actually made in a lab. And, you know, after the fraud-chi emails came out... You know, all these things are actually coming to light, and people are. John Stewart just said it. Like,
oh wow,
yeah, John so Stewart just said
so many coincidences.
And Colbert was like, oh, Colbert was all types of like upset, and you could tell he was kind of having a tick because probably his bank account's going to get affected by this if he doesn't step in and defend everything with his life. But this has been a 5-month journey for us, and so let me kind of introduce our guest.
Well, before you get into the introduction, I'll just say this because we want to keep this short. Like, this is, you know, we don't want to drag this intro on. But just, guys, take a look. We're not asking you to do anything except just consider what we're saying. If you
Believe it.
Yeah, don't believe it. We actually don't want you to believe it. We want you to truly look into this stuff and think about these things. This if you actually believe it right after this podcast, you're a very gullible person, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So just know that we are just here to present our side, and we have someone who is incredible and who's gonna, honestly, you're gonna have so much fun and it's gonna blow your mind.
Yeah, because we collected questions, we got a bunch of questions, and these are the ones that are like pre-programmed questions and pre-programmed like retorts to anything that someone would say, and it's like it's the same thing. It's kind of crazy to see like the same questions over and over and over and over.
It's kind of like when people say your cholesterol, about the fat, right? It's like that you're like, bruh,
oh my gosh, you eat bacon,
oh my gosh, your cholesterol.
So okay, so let's just keep an open mind, listen to this, and there's a possible reward at the end of this, two Bitcoin. So listen for that. Bitcoin's about 35-40 right now. It's a little bit higher.
40K?
Yeah.
For a Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's two at stake, so.
Yeah, so it's about $80,000 on the line if you could watch this and take the challenge. But our guest today is David Weiss, also known as Flat Earth Dave, a renewable energy businessman and avid kiteboarder from the East Coast. He always questioned the reality of the world he lives in. He hosted a weekly podcast for 3 years called Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole, which discussed many different deceptions that the mainstream media and the powers that be cast over the population. Then in early 2015, he started looking at what he thought was the most ridiculous topic, the flat earth. After trying to debunk it for several weeks, he quickly became aware that our earth is stationary and flat, and NASA is 100% fraud. David makes short videos to give newbies to the flat earth enough information to be willing to watch longer, more in-depth videos. His YouTube channel is DITRH, that's short for Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole, and he created the highly rated Flat Earth Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app.
Amazing.
Really cool app, which not only shows the Flat Earth model and provides a huge library of videos that Google and YouTube will not show you. I'm telling you, there's like all these questions. It's really cool to look at. Right now, I'm just challenging everyone who hit play on this episode to stick around and listen to what he says. Don't believe anything he tells you, but if you find yourself questioning anything, you've been provided with the starting point to research this for yourself and do your own experiments. That is, after all, what science is. If it's not testable, observable, and repeatable, it's not science. It's belief, it's religion, mm-hmm. and you know, like, we don't want belief. This is something that Crow 777, one of my favorite podcasters, talks about. Belief is the enemy of knowing. Yeah. Anything based on a belief system is dangerous because it's not, you're not basing it on anything other than a worldview that was put in your brain. So if at any point you think you've found proof that the earth is a spinning ball, David is offering 2 Bitcoin to anyone who can provide just one proof. But before you do, he asks that you browse the app for all the relevant questions and answers and make sure it hasn't already been covered. So with that, you know, with that out of the way, we're going to start this show. Welcome to the show, David Weiss.
What's that?
Oh, this?
Yeah.
It's just my keto brick.
Keto brick? What's a keto brick?
Well, keto brick, well, it's an actual brick, which is awesome because it lasts me a really long time. Can't say the same for you.
Nope.
But keto brick is an awesome keto-friendly snack that it could be used so many ways, you guys, seriously. But it is keto-friendly, high-fat, low-carb, has really, really good macros. It's shelf-stable, which I love because I like to take it with me when I leave the house with the kids. And it's got no sweeteners, none of the crap that we're usually staying away from. So no allulose, erythritol, corn fiber, soy, any of that stuff that we're usually avoiding. But it makes such a great snack. I also love it just as a treat. I like to put it in my coffee, and the kids love it, so that's a plus.
I totally agree, and I have one of these every single day.
An entire brick.
Everybody knows I like to crush mine up into cereal and have it like a cereal. My current favorite flavors are peanut butter and chocolate peanut butter cup, which we have right here next to us. What about you?
I really love the peanut butter because it's nice and smooth, but my other favorite flavor would probably be toasted coconut.
Yeah, toasted that almond coconut really is amazing. And yeah, of course, as you all know, we are great friends with the owners of this company, Robert Sykes and Crystal Sykes. And both of them, when this started, they were just wrapping these things up in aluminum foil and shipping them out themselves, pulling all-nighters. And here we are several years later. It's an amazing company, guys. They have vegan options, vegan-friendly options, as well as whey options. So the two flavors that I mentioned are chocolate peanut butter cup and peanut butter. And the chocolate peanut butter cup is whey, and the peanut butter is with the pea protein. So if you don't tolerate whey, no worries. Or if you're on a vegan diet, no worries. You can have the peanut butter. So guys, click on the link in the description of this podcast episode and check out the Keto Bricks ASAP. It gets the Fat Fuel Family seal of approval. Anything else?
No, that's it. It makes a really great snack. A little trick, I will just give one last tip, is if you want to melt it down, I like to melt it down and put it in little molds to yes. make it just bite sizes for the kids because it's a brick.
It is a brick. Get your Keto Bricks.
Do it.
That's what they can ask.
So without further ado, David Weiss, Flat Earth Dave, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for being here.
Ah, thanks for having me. Always love talking to flat earthers.
I know. He's so bummed, you guys. Whatever.
I'm kidding. It's good. I love talking to everybody.
Yeah, Maura says she cannot confirm or deny.
I'm just kidding. I'm allegedly. For my audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so that it's like a little less shocking for them.
Yeah, just like David says, like, you know, you too can become the pariah of your family and friends.
You can lose the respect of your family and friends. Just watch, take the Flat Earth App Challenge and you'll be right there. Welcome to my world.
Yeah, we're very comfortable with this world.
You were unschoolers. Yeah. You know, everything that we do is kind of against the grain.
Yeah, our family's totally used
to it. Where are you located?
Tampa.
Tampa, Florida.
Nice.
I tried to get a view of that solar eclipse last week. I couldn't get to high enough ground because I'm on the West Coast.
Yeah.
But you would have like a very small percentage down out there, which proves that we're on a flat Earth with a small local sun and moon. Because if it was the distances they say, everyone on Earth that could see the sun would see the eclipse.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is that if I hadn't been following Crow, I wouldn't have known that the thing was going to happen in the first place.
Crow didn't know until the day before when I told him.
Oh, so you were the one that told him, because I saw that little 6-minute, you know, real quick recording that he got. You know, I'm a paid member on Crow 777.
Yeah.
And so let's start off with the question. Why don't you start? Because this is
my question. All right, Dave. Well, we always lead off with the question, what is the most critical problem you are currently trying to solve?
The most critical problem is that people are asleep and don't know who they are, where they are, what they are. They're following a satanic heliosinister trick system, and they don't know the power that they have. And they're allowing people that they call the elite to rule over them. But the only power they have is the power in their imagination.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to Jay Campbell yesterday. He had you on the podcast last year.
Oh, Jay's great.
And he was talking about the same thing about how, you know, I can't buy into this whole simulation thing. And he's like, well, look, if you look at it this way, and the way he explained it was very much like what you're saying, is that we still have free will. And that's the most important thing. As long as people don't mess with my free will, then I can buy into like any type of model that so he's like, you know, if you realize that your thoughts have power over the reality that you live in, then you can see how, you know, there's just a lot of NPCs out there, and you know, you are just making your own reality.
Yeah. 100%. There's people, what I've realized in this, there's people that you have no idea that the earth is flat. They believe the helio nonsensical system, and it's because they've never looked. And so you can talk to them, and if they're willing to listen, then they'll wake right up. But then there's other people, no matter how much evidence you give them, they'll never wake up. Those are the NPCs, and that's their journey. I like to say I don't judge them, but I kind of do. but I don't judge them.
No. Yeah. So speaking of this model, why don't you let people know what they're so violently defending?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Well, what's funny is the people that violently defend it have no idea what their model is. They don't know that in their model that they're spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. You know, when you're watching the sun go down, it's because you're falling over backwards in their model, faster than the speed of sound. That's insanity.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
While that's going on, you're orbiting the sun at 66,600 miles an hour. You're chasing it at 500,000 miles an hour. It's moving sideways at over 1,000,000 miles per hour. Yeah, but nothing changes. You go look at the stars tonight. They're there. Next year, same night, same time. 10 years, same night, same time. The stars are in the exact same position. Nothing ever changes. And if you listen to what science says, you know, they say they can tell the distance of stars by the parallax 6 months apart, because the sun is 186,000 miles on the other side of the sun, and they could see different parallax. Well, what about the 4.4 billion miles that we corkscrewed through the galaxy? You know, is everything else moving in sync with us? When you look at their system, you wonder how the hell I ever believed in that, in that nonsense. So that's the first thing. They don't know their own system. And then if you ask them simple questions like, you know, how fast is any of those speeds I told you, they don't know any of them. They don't know the size of the earth. They don't know the diameter of the earth. They don't know the curvature formula. They don't know how far they're supposed to be able to see. They just believe it because the lying guy with a bow tie told them.
Yep.
Right? And then the other thing is, they don't know what the flat earth model is. They think the flat earth is a disc floating in a space with a whole bunch of other round planets, you know, because that's been programmed into their minds. You know, oh, what are we the only flat one? You know, the other one's flat too. No, we're not a pancake floating in space with a bunch of balls or a bunch of other pancakes. It's not the case at all. And you know, when you search for flat earth, you get the government hand you what they want you to see. They give you the flat earth society nonsense where you're a disc. That's not the case at all. What is the flat earth then if it's not a disc? The way I explain it is the flat earth is the earth is a extended plane. How far? I don't know. Extended, massively extended. And we live within a pond within that plane. All of the continents are surrounded by water, but all of the water is surrounded by the land that we call Antarctica. Antarctica is the highest land on Earth. It's a container for our world pond. Large bodies of water at rest lay flat, scientifically, provably, testably, measurably, observably flat. And the Earth is 70% water. So how many sections of flat water does it take to make a sphere?
Right.
Okay. And then people say, well, what's beyond the edge? People fall off the edge. You know, I said, can you fall off a lake? No, you get to the edge of the lake with the edge of our pond. There's Antarctica. Climb up and go for a walk. Problem is, you're not allowed to. No one's allowed to explore Antarctica. No one's allowed to get within like 1,000 miles of Antarctica without permits that you can't even get. But you can book a vacation there. Cost you tens of thousands of dollars. You get to go for 3 days. They barely let you off the boat. When they do, it's heavily monitored, guarded. You're only allowed to go in certain areas. They show you some penguins. They show you some icebergs. They show you a ceremonial South Pole because the South Pole doesn't exist. And then they kick you out. And that's it. And then you're like, yay, I was at the end of the world.
Well, this this peninsula here, that's this yeah. is where they take you, right? This is the place right there?
Yeah, probably. That's one of the, that, I think that's the place, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And the one thing I also was thinking about when you talk about like the movement of the stars, like how is it that our constellations are so perfect with when so many stars, at they're at so such different lengths, you know, because they're at different distances.
Gravity, dude.
Gravity's the catch-all.
Gravity's the answer.
So, yeah. All right, let's get into these questions because yeah, I again
touch on a lot. So I think we'll get.
So this first one is loaded. This is from Boyana, and she says, taking into account the vast images we have from spaceships and satellites, how do you explain the difference between what we're seeing visually, i.e., spherical shapes of planets? And what do you propose is the truthful perspective? There's like three or four questions in there.
Well, let's first I say, if all of the things we saw in the sky were spheres, what difference does that make? Okay. Look at the lights in your ceiling and describe the shape of your floor. There's no correlation. But when you, with a telescope and a super zoom camera, I've looked at Saturn. It looks pretty spherical to me with this ring around it, but it doesn't look like a gaseous rocky ball reflecting sunlight, and where the ice and the rocks that are somehow making this beautiful ring around it are reflecting the sunlight just as bright. If you look at it, it looks like a light. It looks like a light with a lit ring around it. What is it? Anyone's guess, you know, it's named that the planets are named after gods. I don't know what they are, but what we can show is that they're small, they're here, they're within the Earth system, and I don't believe that they're even physical. I believe that we're seeing light, and I don't know what the source of that light is. If you look at, have you ever seen Star in a Jar, where they focus sound waves into a jar, and these little suns appear in the jar? It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And so images of Earth, you know, which image do you like? This one or this one, you know? They're absolutely ridiculous. NASA, you know, people defend that there's real pictures of Earth. NASA says there aren't. So they admit that they're made in Photoshop, okay? They Photoshop the clouds in. They even write little messages in the clouds. They're totally messing with you. And people just believe it. I remember this, you know, 1978 photo of Earth, and then 2017, they showed how much pollution has really darkened the world. But it also made all the clouds repeat. They use the same clouds. Okay. Yes. So that there alone shows you we didn't go to the moon, right? I unwind it all the way back to being in NASA. We didn't do any of it. They're lying about not some things, they're lying about everything. They didn't even develop Velcro or memory foam. That's a lie also.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome to hear you the other day on with Sam Tripoli and Crow and all these guys. And someone made a really good point about how it's too late, man. They can't back out. There's way too much invested. They're not going to say they can't say it was a mistake at this point because there's so much, you know, intention behind.
Oh yeah, they can't back out, but they're not doing it because they started off lying. They started off lying for the purpose of deceiving the world, and NASA isn't the head. NASA is just the tool that they're using to brainwash everybody into believing that we can walk on balls floating in an infinite space vacuum. I mean, the whole idea of the Big Bang, you know, there was nothing, it exploded, became everything. And then for some reason, the rocks started getting together and creating these perfectly spinning balls. And then the gases decided they're going to just accumulate themselves in gas balls in a vacuum. That's a problem. Okay. How are you doing that? Right.
Yeah.
And none of that makes any sense. None of that makes any sense. Show me a vacuum in nature. Create a vacuum. We can't even create a vacuum here on Earth with walls 11 feet thick of, you know, lead or whatever they make them out of. And they can't even suck all the air out of it. That's how strong gas pressure is.
Yeah, the other thing I've seen is like they've tried to do experiments where they achieve thrust in a vacuum.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, it's impossible. It can't happen.
Yeah.
Why don't you go to the...
Oh, we still haven't.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, let's get into the... So we got the images. We briefly covered that. The satellite, because they mentioned, you know, satellite.
Satellites a lot.
Yeah.
Like, what about the satellites?
Yeah, what about the satellites? So... The idea of a satellite, satellites aren't floating in space. They're spinning around the Earth. They're falling towards the Earth. But whatever height they're at, they're the radius of the Earth. They're, if they fall 10 feet, they've actually had 10 feet of curvature. They're just falling around the Earth. Okay? The Earth's gravity is still holding onto these satellites. But the higher up they are, the faster they have to go to keep up with the Earth. So the small ones are moving faster, or they're going at different speeds, and there's supposedly this magical place where the height and the speed matches the rotation of the Earth. Okay, so like this satellite right here, let's pretend this is a geostationary satellite. You have to believe that that thing is mimicking all of the ocean, all of the motions of the Earth. Okay, the Earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. Well, it has to spin faster than 1,000 miles an hour just to keep up with the spin of the Earth. The Earth is orbiting in an elliptical, speeding up, slowing down orbit in a, you know, in a elliptic, in a circle.
Yeah.
And it's keeping up with that while keeping up with the spin of the Earth. Okay. It's also chasing the sun at 500,000 miles an hour and moving sideways. And that satellite's like, I can keep up all of these directions. You ever watch NASA or SpaceX? They just push a satellite out into space.
Yeah.
And it's doing all of these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they say it's the Lagrange point. The Lagrange point is the point between the sun and the moon where the gravity is affecting it. You know, it's just holding it in that special spot. This is all hypothetical nonsense.
Can't be tested or proven.
It can be proven that it can't happen. I mean, you can't test it right. That's it. You know, NASA, you can't verify anything NASA says. But if you just think, use your common sense and don't trade it in for nonsense, then you'll know that satellites aren't real. I mean, when we look at their launches, you know, this is SpaceX launch. I mean, you guys have seen this, right?
Yeah, yes.
I call it the grain silo launch. It's the dumbest thing ever.
It's so ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous.
Angles.
Yeah, the camera angles. Look at the speed. You know, it's so friggin' dumb. It's unbelievable.
That's
all right. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, for
yes.
sure. Why don't you?
I know. I get it. This is boring. These are all the same questions. I get it. What about horizons, Dave?
Horizon.
Horizon.
Where does that word come from? Horizontal. Right? Horizons are just the limit of your eyesight. When you look into the distance, you see... the sky will merge with the ground, and that's the limit of your vision. You can see in any direction. So, you know, when you look on I don't care if your horizon's 10 miles away or 100 miles away, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you see the same distance in all directions. So a person standing, you know, at the water's edge can see the same distance in all directions. Well, that kind of makes a curve. Right? But you can see farther in the sky because the sky's up higher, and you'll see this curve, and then a baller will say, well, that's the curve of the Earth. No, it's not. It's the limit of your vision, and it's really hard to see it. The other thing is, you know, if you're on a ball, the farther out you see, you know, the higher up you are, the farther out you see. So the horizon drops down. So the higher you go, like a 6 foot tall person can only see 3 miles before the horizon drops behind, you know, supposedly
right.
behind their view. So think about this: on an airplane, 39,000 feet, you can see 242 miles. That's what the globe math says. 242 miles, that's where the horizon should be. It should be below you, okay? But you can look in your window, look out the window on the left side, look out the window on the right side, and you'll see the horizon at your eye level. If you try to draw an imaginary line, it would go right through your eyeballs, okay? So you're seeing the horizon at your eye level at distances that are ridiculous, and that horizon should be 78,000 feet below you.
Wow.
But it looks like it's at your eye level. 78,000 feet.
Wow.
Okay. How, most of our balloons don't even get up that high when we send balloons up to see what's going on. You know, the U-2 spy plane doesn't fly that high.
So with the Horizon, I've been going back and forth, and just so you know, we need to bring you back because my buddy's a pilot, and
we almost got him actually.
He's a friend of mine. Well, we don't almost got him at all.
Yeah. No, I mean like as in like on here.
Oh, on here, yeah. No, it was too many questions. So, but like I thought it would be good to
pilot or just a private pilot.
He's actually like he was like in Top Gun. Now he's instructing pilots in England. He's in the UK now, and he's a flight instructor for the fighter jets that I think France and England uses. So he's up at the typical altitudes.
He totally believes the Earth is a spinning ball, even though flight manuals, the FAA documents talk about all of their modeling is done over a flat, non-rotating plane. Their words, not mine.
Yep.
Yeah. And he, this one of the things that he was telling me, like, I think that this is an example of what you say when they say that you can't square it because that would be like a parabola or something. So,
by the way, it is a parabola, but that's over great distances, well over 1,000 miles away. The formula doesn't really work. We're not talking 1,000 miles. We're talking 100 miles, less than 100 miles. And it works perfect for that. Perfect. Yeah.
But
and you know what? And some globers will say, well, if you're looking at something, 10 miles away, you say there's 66 feet of curvature, but they're really halfway over the curve and you're halfway over the curve. So it's really only half of that. Well, that's complete bullshit, but I'll give it to them.
Yeah.
Because we can still see it. I can see a buoy that's 11 miles away, and I can see the water surface beyond it when there should be 66 feet, but let's just call it 33 feet. And I'm rounding down. I'm not even taking that last mile, which would give it even a bigger drop. And it's still there. It fails on every level. Every level. Anybody that actually studies this stuff and still thinks the Earth is a globe has a problem.
Yeah, when I told him about, at 500 miles per hour, you got to drop a mile every two minutes.
You have to rephrase that.
Okay.
If an airplane is flying 500 miles an hour for an hour, there's going to be a 30-mile drop. Okay? Divide that out, and it's about a mile every 2 minutes on average. But, when you're going across the top, the first, that it drops exponentially. So it's averaging all those out. Some people freak out. The ballers freak out when you say that. They're like, that doesn't make any sense. 500 miles, and they take 1 minute out of it, and they're like, the drop is only this tiny little bit. Nonsense. 30 miles over an hour, average of a mile every 2 minutes.
That's 150,000 feet. That's absurd.
Yeah.
So, okay. So let's go to the next question. Okay, this is great. This is great because this is like a Neil deGrasse Tyson special.
Oh, boy.
Is there a limit to how far we can see on a flat plane?
I just showed you that the distance that we can see, it changes daily. And also, it depends on the weather conditions.
Right. If it's foggy, it makes sense.
Yeah. So even on a clear day, the atmosphere becomes super opaque when you're looking across. When you're looking up, you're just looking through a little bit so you can see farther. But when you look down into the atmosphere, it becomes opaque, right? And this is the shot. I'm sure you guys have seen it. This is in Alluja, France, and you can see Mount Canigou. Well, Matt, you can't see Mount Canigou because it's 175 miles away, and the top of the mountain from this viewing height, according to globe math, would be a mile below the curvature. But as the sun does its migration in between the tropics, couple days a year, it lines up with Mount Canigou, and there you see it. The top of the mountain should be a mile below the curvature. But this isn't curvature. This is an optical horizon. The light that bounces off of Mount Canigou, even on a clear day, can't push back and make it to your eyes. There's too much atmosphere. It's cumulative. It's like going in a big swimming pool and looking at the far end. You can't see the wall, okay? And it's just because it's cumulative. But when the sun backlights it, you can see it. And there it is. It's not like a mirage. Yeah. And the ballers will say, well, the sun's already set and the mountain's already over the horizon, but it refracts up and stops right at eye level. Never goes higher. Never half refracts. It refracts perfectly to eye level. That's called Glober talk.
Oh, man. Okay. So, in your opinion, is the current science wildly misinformed or is there a conspiracy taking place? These are actual listener questions.
Well, it's the the people that don't know what's going on are just misinformed. The people that become scientists, teachers, they're the ones that memorize and regurgitate the nonsense exactly. the best. If you're not taught to think. I mean, when I'm explaining this to people, I have to dumb it down to the point where it's ridiculous because people don't know how to think.
Yeah.
When I say the angular resolution limits of your eyes are like short circuit, I'm done, or 8 inches per mile squared. Oh my God, that's algebra. I hate algebra. Right. Yep. It's so yep. simple. Yeah. And what was the question?
Are they misinformed or is it a conspiracy?
So there are a massive amount of people that are just misinformed and indoctrinated like we all were. But then there's also deceivers out there that know the truth, that are pushing the nonsense to protect the lie. It's all about control. You know, look what's going on in the world right now. It's about control. You know, here's the thing. You guys are awake to this. Do you buy into any of the other nonsense that's going on?
No.
Do you live in fear?
No.
Not at all.
Right. Yeah. So that's what they want. They want us living in fear. Yep. They want us paying attention to all the other nonsense. But, you know, when you wake up to this truth, it regrounds you because you're not spinning out of control, lost in space. You're grounded. You figure out who you are. You realize nobody has control over you. You realize that your thoughts create your reality. Everything you have in your life, you created. And that's it.
I love that.
Yeah.
And it's true because even when thinking of like NASA, right? Like people are like, well, or everybody who works at NASA is in on it. I'm like, no, I don't think so because people are just doing their jobs. Like all those people that you see like, yay. They're just playing with computers there.
Maybe some of those people might know.
And maybe you never know, but it doesn't take that many people.
Yeah. So one of the people in the control room was being the Mars mission or moon missions in the control room. They were being interviewed and they said that they practice like hundreds of times before the real mission with they do simulations, and they say the simulations are so good that they can't tell the difference between the simulation and the real event because it's that accurate. Well, no, it's because they're all simulations.
Right.
They just tell them that the data coming in is the data, you know, they all wait and they hear ping and then they high five each other. Yeah, we did it. We did it.
Yeah. And the other thing that I loved from Austin Witsit, you know, he's doing that little masquerade tour. And he said something that I hate that guy.
I think really? He's the worst. He's so stupid. He's a religious zealot.
That's hilarious.
Get out of here, dude. I was just going to shout you out. That is crazy. So I'm about to quote you. So me and her, listen to your stuff. I love that. That's crazy.
Get in there.
You got to throw this into your little talk, appearance. Dave. You got to throw this into the why the lie part, because I really loved when you talked about Austin, about how, like, when you're basically told to, like, you're made to kind of disregard all of your common sense, everything that you're observing and feeling. Mm-hmm. You start to question yourself, and you know, what? I'm not going to be bothered with this. I'm just going to trust the experts.
Right.
And then for the rest of your life, you're easy to control because you're basically all of these, everything that they tell you, it's easier.
Well, you're an expert for everything now.
Yeah. Well, trust the experts on the science of cooties. Trust the experts on the science of, you know, the genetic modification like Austin calls
it. I promise my great-grandma would not believe in this cooties thing. She'd be like, oh, I can heal you.
Yeah, 100%. So that's cool that you guys are together. Are you gonna be doing stuff in Connecticut?
Well, you already totally flat smacked my town. There's really, like, I've been living in this town, like, basically if you set up a speaker anywhere, you're gonna end up in jail. And so we had this little freedom rally about vaccines, and Austin landed on the front page of my paper, Flat Earth, the medical freedom rally. My entire town fire because of this guy.
That's hilarious. I love it.
Come
to Tampa. Come to Florida.
Let Austin answer a question.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. It's Austin, talk to us about eclipses, man. What about eclipses?
What are eclipses on the heliocentric model? I don't know exactly what they are. I just know what they say is not true. NASA uses the Ceres cycle, came from 2500 BC, the Chaldeans. We have the Selenilian eclipse where you have the sun and the moon both above the horizon at the same time, which is literally impossible. So, I mean, what they are exactly, I don't know. I don't make claims as to the characteristics of the sun and the moon. I just know that what they say is a lie.
Yeah. But if you think about it, the idea of the sun being 400 times farther and 400 times bigger and the moon lining up with it, that would happen 0.00, 100 more zeros. You know, that's a percent chance that it could happen. And if it happens once, it probably would never happen again, but it happens again and again and again. Yeah. And the eclipses come in cycles.
Yeah.
They come in cycles.
Yeah.
So this video right here is showing you, this is now, this penny is going to eclipse the light that's the same size and it's right near it. and it kind of looks a lot more like an eclipse versus a distant light when he first showed it, and it didn't really eclipse it the same way. This is the simulated eclipse, and here is a real eclipse. Looks very, very similar to me.
Yeah.
But Neil deGrasse Tyson told me that if it was flat, that it wouldn't do a curved shadow.
A perfect V.
Yeah, the assumption that the Earth is casting a shadow is just nonsense. Like, we have a selenilion eclipse, so it couldn't happen.
You also know,
like
if the sun is so big, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, because they changed the sun's rays to explain the eclipse. Yeah, they give it, you know, they say it comes in straight, you know, because it's so big, but then they change that to fit the way they explain
eclipses.
Oh, yeah,
the rays coming in parallel, you mean?
Yeah.
Not when eclipses occur.
Yeah, penumbra. Yeah.
Right.
Which can't be replicated ever. It's just a fairy tale, you know. And they say that the sun's 400 times bigger than the moon, just coincidentally exactly 400 times further away also. That's a cool story, bro.
I love it.
All right, so this one's interesting. I like this one because this one seems to imply something. So this
I love the cool story. I was going to say, you're going to bust out the glasses. Cool story, bro.
They're supposed to go on both of us, but it didn't work.
It's hard when it's a two-body problem instead of a three-body problem. all right. So is it easier to point out flaws in the globe Earth model or point out data supporting the flat Earth model?
It's easier to point out flaws in the globe Earth. You can do it asleep or hammered. You know, I don't know. Like the flat Earth just has some question marks. There are things that we maybe aren't supposed to fully know. You know, if you give me trillions of dollars and every quote unquote scientist ever and every university ever, I could probably figure out a lot more than we know right now. Maybe let us freely traverse the Earth. Maybe we'll know a little more.
I mean, we have a lot of questions, and we know that we have questions. Globers don't even know their models, so they don't even know they have questions. They believe, you know, the lying guy in the bow tie and then Neil deGrasse, and they're programmed just to believe, right, without any verification. So that's the problem right there. And then the idea, if you look at the two-body problem, if you look at the seasons, you look at all the stuff about the globe, none of it makes any sense. It makes nonsense is what it makes.
That's a big difference. The flat earthers, like, they can just ask questions and critically assess things and acknowledge what we don't know. But the globe Earth, you're in a cult, bro. You got to walk the line perfectly. You know, you have your answers and you're not allowed to venture outside of that. And so it's just the best they can come up with now. And then when they change it, you'll have to update your whole worldview. So I'm good over here, bro.
Yeah, I was trying to, we had this whole thing set up on a Saturday afternoon. My buddy was coming over. He's my pastor's son. I love the guy. And I was like, listen, just come over here. This is not going to be a debate. I just want to teach you what I've learned. And he was getting caught up in the why, again, another Austin thing that I love where I actually mentioned in the intro, you guys didn't hear it, but I was talking about how your example of, like, you know, your girl's cheating on you. I got the videos, but you don't want to listen to it because you want to know why first.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even show him anything yet. And then when I tried to show him one piece of evidence, he was like, well, I don't necessarily believe that. I'm like, well, then show me your new model. What's your new model that doesn't go in line with this heliocentric model, and where's your proof? And it was just like a short circuit.
You show people the heliocentric model and they're like, no, that's not right. You know, it's not right.
It's not that curved. There's no way. It's much bigger. It's so big.
Yeah.
It's like showing them what happened in Shanksville on September, the day after the 10th. And the people, you tell them the official story, what happened there. They're like, that's not the official story. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta love that passport.
Yeah.
The magical passport. Why don't you ask that one?
Awesome. So, I mean, you kind of touched on this, but this is a good question because people really don't. You know, they're getting that controlled opposition. So our friend Linda asks, does this person think that it's like a flat disc, or does it have corners? Is it rectangular? Is it square? What is the shape of our?
Awesome. Oh, they always just the scriptures say there's like a circle inside a corner. That's what I think. Yeah. But I, you know, verifiability, I don't know. You can't go past 60th south latitude. So
we can't see.
Yeah.
Right. The pond, the way I describe it, we know, it's a pond within a plane.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay, so this is great. So this is kind of implying like circumnavigation. So how does he explain trips around the globe where you end up at the same point but always travel in the same direction? That's good to show like the compass and all that stuff, because I mean, I didn't understand that. And I was like, oh, that makes sense on both if you do it with both.
Right. So the way the flat Earth works is step. Sure, I gotta go this way. Sorry, just a little bit. at the center of the flat Earth is the magnetic center. The compass always has to point towards that. So I'm trying to push this compass west, and I have to keep correcting to the north. There's no other way to go west because your compass needs to point at the North Pole. Now I'm going east. If I went straight, I would not be going east anymore. So I have to keep turning. East and west are circles, and that does not prove the Earth is flat because it's the same on a globe. Except when you get in the south, it has a different issue on a globe. But if I try to dead reckon straight, immediately I'm heading south. Every one of those lines radiating out of the center is south. So if you point in any direction, if you follow that straight line long enough, you'll be going south. If you're going north, as soon as you pass the North Pole, you're going south. If you try to go west and don't turn, or east and don't turn, you're going south.
What about south to north circumnavigation? Because that's one that people seem to think that that's been done. And
it's never been done. There is a world record for it, and it was the ZQ pilot, and he was going to go from pole to pole, circumnavigate, and go for the world record. Well, he did it, and we were watching, and when he went to, you know, he went from the north. Went all the way down out to wherever these islands are over here. Boom, went to Santiago, went to the South Pole supposedly, and said the weather was too bad. So he turned around and came up through Brazil and up and around. And we're like, all right, well, that didn't work, right? And because he turned around. And they gave him the world record for a southern circumnavigation, okay? What the heck's going on there? What, you know, all he did was take a trip around this pond like this. You know, if I said, hey, I can prove to you that my street that looks straight is a sphere and I'll go around it. And I went to the end of my street. I tagged the end of the street and I turned around and ran to the other end and go, see, it's a sphere. No, I just went somewhere, touched the goalpost and turned around.
Yep.
The reason people don't do southern circumnavigation. Do you want to take a guess?
I mean, because there is no way to do it.
Yeah, because the Earth is flat. Exactly. It was a trick question. I'll give it to you. But, it's there's no way to do it.
Yeah, my wife is always like that same buddy of mine. She's always like, okay, tell me how I'm going to go under. Like, how am I going to, I'm in my plane. Am I curving over? She does some gymnastics. Yeah. All right. So another question from our friend Linda. This is good because it has the word believe in it. So do you not believe that the massive size of the Earth would carry with it a tremendous amount of gravity, basically pulling all sides into itself, ultimately leading to the spherical shape?
Great question.
I love it.
Cool story, bro.
Gravity.
Gravity's never been proven. It's been disproven. If you look at the three-body problem, you can't model it. Everything in the sky is a perfect clock. This whole gravity thing is just complete and total nonsense.
Talk about the three-body problem for anybody who doesn't know what that is.
Oh, yeah, just like a mathematical. You can't even mathematically work out a gravitational relationship between three bodies. And the current rhetoric is the theory of relativity, that space and time bend, two concepts, can't physically bend. You can't bend freedom, even applying that to their fairy tale. It's off by 95%. Gravity is just something you have to have to explain how you could be in omnidirectional directions sticking to a ball. Like, well, we know the Earth's a ball, so gravity has to be there. We can't explain it or prove it or even mathematically work it out yet, but it has to be there. That's literally right. All it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that one really gets me because, like, if it's bringing in even, you know, Pluto, poor Pluto. Pluto's not a planet anymore, but the sun is pulling Pluto into this orbit, but all the moons around, all of the planets that are closer are being pulled into, are being, you know, made to rotate around that planet, but not being sucked into the sun's gravitational pull. There's Pluto.
I love Pluto.
So for everybody who's listening,
if you guys are listening to the audio, you got to go see the YouTube.
You got to watch the YouTube.
To see all the images that we're seeing right now.
Because Dave, you know, he mentioned that, you know, when did we discover the planet Pluto? And what?
Same year that they developed the character Pluto in Disney. You know,
that's awesome.
Then people say, well, the global say, well, that's because the Pluto's cool. So they named something after it, right? I mean, it's so easy to be a baller, but you know, if you look at this
is crazy.
Before, just when Apollo went off, you got a NASA advisor, you got an astronaut, you got Arthur C. Clarke, science fiction writer, movie director, and the senior administrator for the NASA pilot, together in Hollywood just before the moon landing. Yeah. I don't know how much more.
Good old Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe you can ask Austin because.
Yep, you're back.
Huh? This question?
Yeah.
Okay, so Creek Sparrow asks us, and I actually love this question. Can you back up your claims with scripture?
Wow, yeah. There's over
actually, 200.
We can. Yeah, you literally would have to be like, I'm just going to be frankly honest. Like, you have to lie to say that the scriptures say the earth's a ball. It says it takes shape like clay under a sill. It's immovable and fixed over and over.
Yep.
That there are ends of the earth, corners of the earth, the face of the whole earth. It just, you know,
repeatedly the waters said above.
The waters above separated by the firmament, which is impenetrable. Rakia in Hebrew, which is strong as bronze. It can't be penetrated. He stretched out the firmament like a tent and where grasshopper inhabits within. It's over and over and over. And then Isaiah uses a Hebrew word for circle and a totally different Hebrew word for ball before that, proving he wasn't calling it a ball. So there's literally not one piece of scripture that ever insinuates it's a ball that spins around in a space vacuum.
Yeah, no mention of planets.
Yeah,
that one's good.
All right, so our friend Hillary asks, do you think all planets are flat? I mean, you kind of mentioned that, but you know, talk about the heavenly bodies and what possibly could be happening. You know, I mean.
So, you know, we're told that Mars is a dusty, dirty ball reflecting sunlight. If you were on Mars, the sun would be tiny because you're farther away, supposedly, than we are. So how is that dusty, dirty ball sending light back where you can see it in the night sky? It's brighter than any other star. So, again, these things that we're seeing are here within the Earth system. You know, our optics have outgrown their lies, and we can see things that they don't want us to see. Like, if you look at Mars through a P900 or P1000 camera, it's a pulsing orb of energy. This is not a planet. Planet is plain with a little cross at the end of it, right? I don't know how they came up with it or whatever, but they want you to believe that there's these other balls because we're on a ball. Well, we're not on a ball. We're on the basement of the universe, okay? And the wandering stars, which they now call planets, don't look anything like they tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah, my pilot friend told me that the reason why we see things differently is due to some sort of atmospheric, and that's, I mean, wow. For everyone who's listening, you got to watch the YouTube because like these stars, I mean, they have all types of cymatic patterns and like different colors, and somehow we're so, like the atmosphere is changing it that much.
It almost looks like electricity behind water.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, my favorite is Arcturus, which you can zoom in. Anyone could do this, and this is what it looks like. This is not a burning ball in a space vacuum, trillions of miles away. And again, you know, people melt with numbers, but when you scientifically look at the size that they tell us things are, there's no possible way we can see them. For example, the sun they tell us is a yoga ball, and we're a BB next to that yoga ball, right? And so if the sun was just a mile overhead, it would fill the entire sky horizon to horizon. That's big, okay?
Yeah, it's big.
And then you move it 93 million miles away, it's the size of a coin held at arm's length. That reduced a lot. What if you doubled the distance, tripled the distance? Triple the distance, it's scientifically provable that you can't see it. It's too small. Its angular size is too small, and its brightness is just getting dimmer and dimmer exponentially over those distances, but we'll just leave that out of it. If I made it 24 times farther, just to be sure, it's completely impossible to see. 24 times farther is known as 3 light hours. They tell us Polaris is bigger than our sun, 46 times bigger. That's so rounded up to 48 times bigger. Giving them a little advantage. Multiply, so that's 48 would be 2 days times 3 hours. It would be 6 light days away, scientifically provable that you could not see Polaris at 6 light days away. They tell us it's 433 light years away. Okay. Most people just short circuit at that point. They can't process those numbers. They've never been able to. And, you know, it's just, they're lying about everything, period. They're lying.
So can you, Dave, can you talk a little bit about like scaling as well as like the inverse square law of light. What is it?
Square law of light. Every time you double the distance of something, it gets a quarter of the brightness. Or every time you half the distance of something, it gets four times brighter. So when you go out and look at the full moon on a clear night in a dark area, it's bright. It's so bright you can walk, drive without your lights on. You can read a book. It casts shadows on the ground. It's bright enough to see. So how's this dusty, dirty ball reflecting light back to Earth so we see it that brightness? Now this is probably, I don't know, 10 lumens, 20 lumens. Lumens is a measurement of light. But let's just give them every advantage. One lumen. It's one lumen. I think a match is more than one lumen. You know, a flame on a match. I have to look that up. And so if you go halfway to the moon, it's now four lumens. Cut that in half, 16 lumens. Cut that in half, 64 lumens. Keep doing that. When you get to about 100 miles from the moon, it's tens of millions of lumens. Do you know what happens if you look at a light that's tens of millions of lumens? I think your head melts. I think you vaporize. Okay. Now what about... So you have to believe that this guy's standing here on tens of millions of lumens and it's reflecting back to Earth. Right here. You know what this shows you? They're lying. We didn't go to the moon. It's all nonsense. And you need to wake up and regain control of your life because you lost it before you could even talk. Because they teach us that we live on a spinning ball before we can even talk. Our entire life is ball programming and fear programming. Just turn on the news for 5 minutes. Fear, nuclear bombs, running out of food, running out of water, climate change, asteroids, everything. Fear, fear, fear. And we need to go. You know, we're going to go to Mars and we're going to live on Mars. You know, Mars doesn't have any atmosphere, doesn't have any water, or maybe they said they found water. You know, to get there, why don't they just go to Ethiopia and build a dome there? Okay, build a giant dome in Ethiopia. I think it'd be a lot. The rail line. We can get supplies there. We can get people there. Right, build it and build a sanctuary. We'll have a closer sun. It would work beautifully. Why don't we just do that? Okay, that would be a trillionth of the cost.
Yep.
More than a trillion.
Primoria.
Somebody calculate that number for me. How much less would it cost to build it in Ethiopia? Can you calculate the numbers for me, Austin? A trillionth? A trillionth of the cost or a sextillionth of the cost? A sextillionth of the cost.
So there's the light aspect of it, but there's also the size aspect of it. That's a different law or whatever, because people are like, well, what we're seeing is 40,000 years old or something like that. How can you help people wake up? It just doesn't make sense to me. There's always going to be a limit to what we can see.
Very good. There's a limit to what we can see. We can't see forever. Light doesn't. I don't even believe light has a speed. I think light is instantaneous. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Awesome. Backing me up there.
Yeah.
All right. again. You know, I thought it was the coolest thing. You know, the light you're seeing, that star that was there 30 million years ago, the light's just getting to us. Forget it. It's the dumbest thing ever. It's all made up nonsense. Yeah. How about this? Do you feel like you're spinning corkscrewing through space at billions of miles a year? Or do you think that you're perfectly stationary just like every sense tells you?
Yeah.
Okay.
You need to literally deny your senses. It's true.
Now, what about this is something that I don't hear mentioned a lot, but am I right in saying that the moon and the sun both do not have a magnetic field, right?
I don't know about that. I think they kind of do. I think the sun and the moon are the anode and cathode of the Earth battery system.
The electricity part of it would say that.
Right. I think there's the Electric Universe group. These guys have it right, but they still think we live on a ball. They just haven't figured that out yet. But, you know, the sun and the moon are the anode and the cathode of the battery. The salt water carries the current. And the land is the salt bridge, and it's a free energy system that's beyond what we could imagine. I mean, go back, look at the Tartarian buildings and everything. It's all done with free energy. We are at the, you know, we're taught that we're at the pinnacle of, you know, we've just been getting smarter and smarter over the years, you know, and people were cavemen and they were really stupid. We are literally, it's the opposite. We are one step away from idiocracy.
We're totally there. And the reason why I brought it up is because one of these things I watched was talking about how like, if you can't really measure a magnetic field on something, then it can't be terra firma. And maybe I'm confusing something.
You know, electricity and magnetism run hand in hand. It's above my pay grade. If you want to really learn about the Earth battery system, I recommend you subscribe to L.C. King, L-C-K-I-N-G, YouTube, a guy in Australia who's really figuring this stuff out. He made this graphic for me, actually. So that's how, you know, the Earth battery works. We live in this free energy system. I don't believe power plants are even doing what they tell us they do. They're on ley lines, these things. We're out in the water this morning, Austin and I and Chris, and there's four smokestacks over in Long Island that are, you know, you've seen smokestacks for a big power plant, and they're all in a row. Then all the way across Long Island Sound, about 7 miles away in Bridgeport, there's another power plant with one stack. What are the odds that if you went to the fourth stack on the one on Long Island and looked across the top of those four perfectly lined up, it would line up with the one in Bridgeport across Long Island Sound? What are the odds of that happening?
Well, very low.
Line. So what are they doing? Are they pulling energy out of a ley line? It's weird. And I started looking into it a while ago. It was hard to do. I want to see, are there other places like that? Are power plants all lined up in a grid? Somebody's listening. You want to find all the power plants in the United States and then just put them, mark them on a map and see how they look.
Yeah.
See how many line up with each other.
There was one more question that I had because we're making good time about the. Oh, yeah. It was an Ewar thing. You know, Ewar mentioned that the North Pole, you know how he mentions like how on Google Earth there's that weird artifact there that shows like, you know, they're making it look like there's not even the ice sheets where the North Pole's supposed to be. Right. So then you think back to like what Admiral Byrd said. And for anybody who doesn't know Admiral Byrd, you know, what was he, High Jump and Fishbowl or Operation?
Just High Jump? Yeah, just High Jump. And he, you know, went out in Antarctica, found land bigger than the United States, filled with resources that no human has ever set eyes upon. And then they started the Antarctic Treaty, and nobody can go explore there. And everybody agrees it's the only treaty that's lasted the test of time. They guard it with the military. Just try to go to Antarctica without a permit. You'll end up in jail, if not sunk and dead.
Yeah,
but he said that what's being claimed now is that the North Pole is not a solid landmass; it's just a bunch of ice. But Admiral Byrd said, "Well, we can't go to the North Pole because that place is getting crowded." And I was like, "Well, why is it crowded if it's not a solid landmass?" I thought that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know much about the North Pole. Again, it's one of those places that's off limits; airplanes don't fly over it. It's very, very interesting. I think there's probably something very, very cool there.
Yeah.
The North Pole stuff that Ewar did was just—it was blowing my mind.
Yeah, that stuff's all in the app, by the way, on the Flat Earth Sun Moon and Zodiac Clock app. It's now, if you hit the web button, which has all the extras or some of the extras in it, I have his entire both series are linked in there for easy access.
Yeah, perfect. So he's making more. He's adding more to the. He's going to do part 8 for the history of Flat Earth.
Yeah, the history of Flat Earth. And then, did you watch the 13 parts? The other one.
What on Earth happened?
That
was blowing my mind.
Yeah, that was just.
That was good stuff.
We're gonna watch it again. We've watched.
Now listen, I've watched what the history of Flat Earth. I watched it 3 times. You know, for me, watching a long video, it's like, come on, you know, speed it up. I watched it 3 times. He's got a lot right.
Yeah.
Doesn't have everything right. And so we're figuring out. So, but here's the thing: don't, you know, if he got something wrong, just leave that out. Look at the stuff he got right. No one's going to get it all right.
Right.
Yeah, it's like I tell people, like, I've quoted Noam Chomsky and I've quoted Obama because, like, you know, broken clock is right, you know, so even twice a day.
Yeah.
And like, I think it's good to be able to, like, take in what works and you don't throw in, that's a fallacy right there that you just, you know, someone gets something wrong, so therefore everything must be wrong.
Right.
And that's why I'd love to see the stuff about, you know, the reflection of the moon. And I saw that you added one of your pictures on a recent presentation you did, looked like the Ewar map.
This is right here. I got the Iran right here. Now, the whole thing, that whole moon thing, I need more information on it, but it sure has a lot of similarities. Now, is it reflecting the Earth, or maybe it's somehow connected with the design of the Earth? And, you know, as above, so below, and it, maybe it's the blueprint, you know, when they were making the Earth, or could be anything. I'm sure, you know, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It, you know, when God created this place, you know, he created them. They must have some common parts or design or something. Yeah, I don't know.
Very interesting.
Are they going against the Bible, Austin?
What?
I don't know. When I'm here, I'm afraid I have to be very careful what I say because lightning bolt could strike me dead if I say the wrong thing.
I love it.
But we all get along because we believe with like, you know, kind of very similar to Austin. Austin's got me saying yeah and Yeshua. Like I gotta fix my vernacular here because I didn't, you know, there's so many things that we don't even know. We say the word God, we say the word Jesus, and we make all these assumptions. And I think that even if I do say that word, if I was saying it unknowingly, it's not like my free will is not taken away. I still have, God knows my heart, you know, but right. It just shows the intention of the people who want to deceive us.
Right.
Austin will allow it.
Okay, thank you, Austin.
All right, go to the next one.
All right, this is actually a good question to tie into like the whole magnetic field thing that we were talking about with the magnetic fields, because we get asked, of course, and I'm sure you do too, about tides. Like, how do you explain tides and seasons? They asked about curvature too, but we already went over that. So
yeah, let me the seasons one, for those you guys have seen it, but I'm gonna share it.
Please.
And the tides are, that's a real big mystery.
It is.
What happened to my, I'm having a, oh, there it is. So can you see that? Oops. That's not good.
There we go.
Oh, did it go away?
Yeah, it went away.
All right. Give me a second. The tides, now in the app, there's a tides playlist. And there's four or five videos in there. I just recommend people watch those videos. And you will be as confused as I am about what really causes the tides.
Yeah.
But you can, one thing you can definitely figure out is it's not caused by the gravity of the moon. You know, when there's a full moon, there's a higher tide. Okay. Well, I say that's because the moon's powered up, because when there's a new moon, the moon's still there, but the moon only has gravity when it's lit up by the sun in the helio-nonsensical BS model. No, doesn't work that way. All right. So you see the app?
Yep.
So right now, the sun is right over the Tropic of Cancer, that inner yellow line. We're right about at the summer solstice. The sun journeys in between the tropics. So right now, it just went over Miami. It went over Mexico, Southern California. It's hot there. Yeah. Right now, it's freezing. Not freezing. It's cold in Australia. They're having their winter. You know, but they're closer to the tropics than like where I am in Connecticut. So the Far East, the is having their summer because the sun is close. All everybody in the Arctic, in the inside, in the circle in the middle, is having their summer because the sun is close to them and it's arcing around the Arctic. Okay, 6 months later, the sun moves all the way out to the Tropic of Capricorn, and South Africa has their summer. Central America has their summer. We're having our winter, and up here, you know, in the north, it gets super cold because the sun is super far away. Look at Alaska. Look at Norway. Look at Vermont, New Hampshire, even Connecticut. It gets cold because the sun never gets closer. So follow that line around where the sun's going. It's going right over Australia, the height of their summer in December, okay? December is the height of their summer, and it's the height of our winter. And that's just because when the sun is closer to you, it's higher in the sky. When it's farther away, same elevation, it's lower in the sky. So if you guys were sitting outside 15 feet apart, freezing cold out, snow on the ground, and I came over and I held a heat lamp 10 feet over one of your heads, you'd look up and go, ah, that heat lamp high in the sky, it's warming me up. And the other person would see that heat lamp lower in the sky, farther away, and you'd barely feel the heat.
Yeah.
Move migrate over 6 months later, summer over there, winter over here, sun's higher, sun's lower. It's exactly how it works. It makes zero sense on a globe. If it were a globe, equal latitudes north and south would have the same life, the same weather, but that's not the case. And the in Antarctica, you know, at latitudes where there's no animals, there's nothing, right? There's no plants that grow. Same latitudes in the north, there's plants, animals, people, everything. So once you understand that, and again, when also when you're in Antarctica, the sun is not arcing around you, it's antarcing. It's going away from you. It's coming towards you and going away. It doesn't go around you. So the names themselves explain a flat Earth with a circling sun, not a globular Earth.
Yep, not in outer space.
Yeah, the outer space.
Yes, the outer space, yes.
Right.
I love it.
And I know you talked about my challenge just real quick.
Yes.
Every day, click the featured video, watch the video every day for 2 weeks. And then at the end of the 2 weeks, most likely you will have lost the respect of your family and friends because you will be a flat earther. But if not, you can send me an email. But before you do, with your globe proof, you have to hit the question mark and up come all the questions that you're going to ask. Every question you guys are going to ask is on this list. And so watch the videos there and don't go, oh, you saw it on a video, therefore it's true. No, the video is showing you people documenting experiments. Go out and do them yourself or watch the video and you go, you know what? That guy really documented it right. He's absolutely right. He proved it. But you can go do it yourself. That's what I did. We could see too far. I bought a camera, you know, P900, zoomed in on a buoy 11 miles away. Bam, I could see it. Impossible. Impossible.
Yeah. Impossible.
Right. For anybody who's listening, I have a, oh, sorry, Dave. I don't mean to interrupt. Keep going.
No, you want to say something? Go ahead.
Yeah, real quick. I have a, how much was our DSLR? $1,500 with the lens?
Yeah, on sale.
All right. So anybody who wants to trade, who wants to buy a DSLR with the lens, it doesn't work for the photography that I want to do because the freaking P900 is like $500 or $600. It's like a less than half the price. And
I think it's less than that now. I think it's come down because the P1000 is, you know, is a beast, but the P900 is, I highly recommend it. It's a great camera.
Amazing.
So this page on the, has all sorts of stuff. Interviews. My interviews are up here on the top left. You got the Globusters 24/7. Instead of having the news run in your house, just stream that Globusters 24/7 to your TV, and then the people are just going to be hearing that. You know, instead of having the fear-based news, you're going to have some truth, fascinating stuff. And nobody can watch Globusters for more than an hour and not become a flat earther.
Love it.
Biblical, bottom right. If you want to see biblical stuff, even if you don't believe in the Bible or anything like that, watch it. You're going to have your mind blown.
Yeah.
I've added books now.
Oh, right? I didn't see that.
We have books in here, all sorts of stuff. The top one, boom, 16 emergency landings proving flat Earth. Absolutely. 16 documented emergency landings that are ridiculous on a globe and make perfect sense on a flat Earth. Airplanes needing to land as fast as possible, traveling thousands of miles out of their way to land somewhere, according to the globe, versus look at it where it is on a flat Earth map, bam. There's also, you know, a page of these are products that we like. If you like them, go ahead. My t-shirt's top left, but I just added on the bottom, Flattoberfest.
Ooh.
Highly recommended our conference. It's October 23rd and 24th in South Carolina. I'll be there. Austin will be there. I get your tickets now because I think it's going to sell out.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think the Iron Republic is so freaking fascinating. I just wrote a kid's book, and I'm thinking that's going to be an adaptation. I'm going to adapt that into another kid's book because that thing is just...
Well, let me know when it's up, and I'll put it on the app. I'll share that book on the app. Anybody that has a really good book that's not on here that's all about Flat Earth, send me an email with a link to where you can buy it and an image of it, or the image will probably be in the link, and I will add it to the app.
Love it. So right. We have
amazing. So yes, guys, you heard it.
Well, wait. There's.
I know. I'm just saying something. I'm not doing anything.
I'm like,
so he's offering. Is it up to 2 Bitcoin now? Is that what we're doing?
2 Bitcoins.
If you
can come up with one proof of the globe.
After going through all this stuff, guys, because don't waste
just our check
time.
It there because if it's in there, it's already answered. So
right. So
check it out.
So here's, I'm glad I was like, if time allows, we can ask this question, and it does. So my buddy who I told you, the pilot, he was saying, like, in this model, how is the moon not going through phases within one night versus throughout the month? And I didn't understand the question, and I'm wondering if maybe you understand what he's implying with that.
Just simply the cause of it.
You're assuming the cause of the eclipse of the moon is the sun's light. Well,
oh, that's what he thought, that it was being reflected by the sun's light. Oh, okay.
I'm not 100% sure where he's going with that, but you know, in this ridiculous model, the phases, I don't even think they make sense, because I think they would change directions. Again, it's ridiculous, because it's not the sun's light is not causing the moon to reflect light. I believe that the sun's energy is powering the moon, and its relative position to it lights the moon, like a Tesla coil would light fluorescent lights.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that's a good one. I really hope we can get him on. It's so funny. We had the shout out to Austin, and Austin's right next to you. That's amazing. So freaking funny.
Yeah, that works.
So good.
Yeah, that's some big
I we should come clean. Your wife told me you were going to do that, so I had Austin fly in here just for this interview.
that's only gonna like tell these people that, oh, he's just trying to sell an app, look how much money he's got, he's flying people in.
yeah that's what I'm doing. I walked away from my own company to be ridiculed by people, you know, so I could sell a $3 app. And here's the thing. Everything that's on the app, or almost everything that's on the app, you can find on, well, is online. You can't find it, but it's online. So if you did 500 hours of research, you'd probably find 3 hours worth of good content, unless you knew the videos that you were looking for and searching for them by name, which you don't if you're doing researching. Yeah. So if 497 hours of your time is not worth $3, Flat Earth might not be for you.
That's true. You know what? We actually might, are we going to do a giveaway?
Yeah,
you know,
let's do it.
Leave
let's
us 5-star reviews on our podcast. You don't even have to be a flat earther. It's fine. But leave us a 5-star review.
Yeah.
And we're going to pick a few. We're going to give you guys.
We're going to do five. We're going to buy you. Five
we're
from
gonna
Dave.
We'll buy the app for you.
We've already bought this app for a few people.
Oh, I gift this at all times at this point.
So you can
like Mother's Day gift.
Right. If you have an iPhone, you can gift it to some other iPhone user, iPad, whatever, from Apple to Apple. You go into the App Store and you just click the share button and then click gift, and then it walks you right through it. Easy. Android doesn't allow that.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I didn't know, because I had gifted it to Danny's sister.
Android doesn't have that. So if you want to gift a bunch of Android ones, I tell people they can join my Patreon and just join it for 1 month if you want, and ask me there for some Android ones, and I'll give you some Android downloads.
Oh, perfect.
Good deal. It's a good deal.
Perfect.
What else, man? It's,
I don't know. We could be here.
Sadly,
I don't want it to be over.
I know. No, I'm like, Dave, is there anything that you think that...
Yeah, what else? I mean,
people, it's all the whole thing. Why the lie? It's all about control. It's to make you insignificant, make you feel like you're flying through an infinite universe in a distant god or godless universe, and make you feel, you know, if the core of your beliefs thinks you're corkscrewing through space, you are unsettled, to say the best. We are part of this Earth system. The Earth is a living system, and we are part of it. And we are, when you realize that your whole life's been a lie, deal with it, you're now standing on a solid foundation. And once you do that, I tell people, try this. Meditate imagining all of the motions of the spinning ball Earth, and you'll probably fall over while you're meditating. You'll be unsettled. Your mind will be spinning out of control. You'll have monkey mind. Then clear your mind, meditate again, and imagine that you're on an immovable plane. There's no way it can move, right? A little vibration, maybe in an earthquake, and everything in the ether above us is spinning around you perfectly, like a perfect clock. Your vibration lifts, your spirit lifts, your mind centers, and you start to wake up. And and once you have that, you know, you're not lost in space, your life starts to, you start to see things, you know, and flat earthers are awake to so many other things. Yeah. And I think it's because they've grounded themselves. They realize where they are. And, you know, your thoughts allow, the reason you don't have certain things in your life is because you're holding them away. The reason you have things is because you're bringing them in. And when you're spinning out of control and in fear of all the nonsense on the news, you can't do any of that. So I think that the elite are using us to create the world that they want, because they can't have it. This entire thing could be over today, not even tomorrow, today, if everyone just woke up and goes, no, I disagree. Yes. The only power they have over you is in your imagination. So it's your fault. Every single one of you, it's your fault the world is like this.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to accept, but we've been saying it now. I mean, like, look at what's happening with kids. Like, you know, we're homeschoolers. That's a big part of what we do. And sorry, I got my sound on. And like, you know, back in the day, it was like, you do you, I'll do me. But now we're at a point where, you know, this world is affecting everyone because people decided to just stay quiet.
Exactly.
And even the ones where like, okay, if you agree with all the stuff that's going on right now, that's fine. You're a true believer. You believe in this nonsense and all that. Like, you believe that you know, cooties is real and that it's like doing all the things that they say. But like, if you don't believe it and you kept your mouth shut, that's where I have a problem, because that's affecting the rest of us, you know? What was I going to say? One more thing. So my buddies who's Christian, you know, the one I was, my pilot friend, he was saying, how does this affect us? You know, because we're believers, you know, we follow Jesus. We're, you know, for me, it doesn't really affect me. But my wife was, you know, before we got together, one of the biggest reasons why she couldn't get with the God thing was that how could God exist because science, science does it, you know?
That was, honestly.
Let Austin answer that one.
That kept me from God for a while. So that is the why. And I'm like, it's, you know, like, that's what I thought. I was very into science as a child, and I didn't make sense to me. I was like, if I'm a speck of nothing, nothing matters.
That is the why, in my opinion. It's pretty obvious, because everything came from nothing, and then lightning struck primordial soup and rocks turned into fish that grew feet and jumped out and blah, 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 turned into apes, you know. But if the earth is stationary, and that means it's geocentric, the center of everything, it was created, and it's a much more personable creator, right? There's a firmament, there's a protection over you, everything's central to you. And it actually just adds viability to the scriptures, right? I was actually young when I was like, wait, what do you mean there's like a ceiling? That doesn't make any sense. No, there's not. I think it's an attack on the scriptures, and the children are being led away. So a lot of people that say they believe in the scriptures, they want to dismiss this because it's uncomfortable, but you need to be honest. Children are being misled and led away from creation because of this. Like, they think that they came from nothing and nothing's important and they don't have a spirit. And so at the least, you know, you should know that it says if you lead one of these little ones astray, it's better that you have a millstone tied around her neck and be thrown to the depths of the sea. So to me, that's pretty despicable to make these children think that they're nothing. And it changes everything. It shows you how real the scriptures are from beginning to end, like how literally accurate they are and viable they are. So for me, it's a huge deal, and to dismiss it is just kind of dishonest, you know, and irresponsible.
Yeah, my faith has increased.
Yeah, this has actually increased my
faith more than ever, because I'm just like, I just awe at the sky clock. I used to think I liked astronomy and stuff, but same. Now it's like we find ourselves looking up. I took a picture of this. I've been doing sun gazing, so has she, and I took a picture of the sun the other day. Now, it could just be something that my phone did, but I hit this little button that gives things texture, and when I hit that button on the picture I took of the sun, I'll send it to you, Dave, because, you know, Jay gave me your number, so you're out of luck with me. I'll send it to you. Maybe it's something that's just the camera's doing, but it looks like the light.
You're the one that was texting me.
Yeah, yesterday. Jay Campbell introduced, he just decided to do like a group text introducing us. And I was like, hey man, looking forward to our chat tomorrow. And so, like, basically what it looks like is the light of the sun is surrounded by this like texturous stuff. Maybe it's just the effect of the phone, but like, you know, knowing what I know now about how things look on the firmament, it looks really cool.
It's so interesting too what you just said about the kids, because our kids are truly unschooled, so they've never ever been to school, and they are so much more open to things. They're not indoctrinated by the globe, because honestly, we're unschoolers, so we don't sit there with a curriculum and push. We're not trying to replicate school at home, basically. So they don't even know much about anything when it comes to that. And they just take in, you know, what's observable and what makes sense. And it's just wild to see how a kid's...
We have God-given common sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I had a conversation with my oldest yesterday, bring him back because he's taking a public speaking class right now, and I really took to heart that episode that you did the other day with Crow and all these people, and someone was talking about at the end how, like, we don't want to indoctrinate our kids in any way, whether it's for flat earth or globe. And I was like, dang, I got to pay attention to this. I'm always telling them, I'm like, listen, buddy, like, so I was on the car ride. I was like, listen, I want you to understand that, like, I'm not trying to push my beliefs on you. This is what I'm doing. This is, you know, this is what I think based on what I see. And he's like, but Bobby, like, everything that you're watching, I'm watching it too. And he's like, how could I deny it just based off of what I see?
Yeah. And show them both. Show them the
good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You guys have a good laugh.
Yeah, it's hard for me not to be sarcastic when I'm mentioning the other thing, because, you know, people say this is such a story, and I'm like, man, you have to really do some mental gymnastics to believe.
Like, this is a story. I'm like, no, yeah. that's a story.
The Globe is Night at the Comedy Show.
Yeah. It's actually wild. Once you do actually open your eyes, you almost can't even imagine how you actually thought, like,
thanks.
Believed it.
Come back.
Well, guys, I'll let you have the last word. You know, tell us, you know, tell people where to find you. I think we'll put a link to everything.
Yeah, so you can find me at my Facebook page, the website, the Instagram, all the same. The Flat Earth Podcast, theflatearthpodcast.com. My Facebook, I mean, my YouTube page is the initials for Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole, DITRH. Anybody that has a show or sees a big show that maybe mentioned Flat Earth, because everyone's mentioning Flat Earth, or even that, you know, they're looking for a guest, hook me up, introduce me. If you know a show, you know, shows that have some nice audiences will be good. Non-Flat Earth shows, this is great. I always joke around about not liking to talk to Flat Earth. This is fantastic. help me get on there. Help me wake up more people, because it's happening. Like, we went to a rally in my town, in my blue state town, where it's insanity. And half the people at the rally were flat earthers. It was amazing.
Wow.
So it's happening.
Yeah, people are more open, I think. Like, this whole thing has opened them up. Like, those who are waking up.
And, and we're literally right at the point where I think it's going to tip. And when it tips, the elite are going to tip the table over and to try to stop it.
Yeah.
So
here comes
the
aliens.
So when whatever is going to happen next, whatever big thing happens, the day it happens, you can go, oh, those damn flat earthers, they really did it now.
It's our fault.
Yeah.
It's going to be our fault for sure. But you know what? Screw them. I'll go down.
Here come the aliens. I'm ready. I'm ready for the story.
Yeah. Don't get on the ship.
Yep.
Don't get on the ship. Well, Dave, thank you so much, man. It was an honor to have you. It was great. Feel like we already knew you. So
yeah. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Thanks. Let's do it again.